When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Glover's Talk, Somerset Live's weekly podcast covering all things Yeovil Town. I'm Stephen Dalbiak. I'll be hosting today, and joining me, as always, is Mike Taylor.
Hello.
Mike, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. All good. It's been a nice tan after a glorious bank holiday weekend, of course.
Yeah, well, I think the weather, you know, it's really peaked, hasn't it? I think we had summer last week, so that's always good when it arrives so early. But we're here, and we're here for the final episode of a series, because of course football season is now over, summer is here, players, fans, coaches, you name it, they're all off to the beach very, very shortly and enjoying their summer holidays. So it's the last time you'll hear from us this season, I'm afraid. But we have got some big news to talk about, because we're recording this on Friday, May the 11th, and yesterday came the news that Yeovil Town have released their retain list. And of course, it means that they've released four players, those being Artur Krizyak, Nathan Smith, Ryan Dipson, and Dan Alfie. Now, whether there's too much of a shock that those three players have been, or those four players, should I say, have been released by the club, I'm not too sure about shock, but certainly, you know, I think there's a bit of sadness among some of the fans at the fact that three such experienced players have been let go. So, Mike, first of all, I'm going to ask you just your initial reaction to that news.
The list sort of makes sense, really. I thought he was going to go. I think if he did his ACL and hasn't played since, and I think even if he did put into fitness, I think there was maybe the suggestion he would be the same player as he would have been, which is quite sad. Artur Krizyak, I thought if Stuart Nelson had been signed, if he got that deal, I thought that, you know, there's only going to be a place for one top keeper there, and I think you know, Darren Way's evaluated the two players, and he's judged that Nelson, albeit a few years older, is the better option in the long term. I am quite unfortunately stand by Nathan Smith. I mean, I thought Nathan Smith was going to be someone who's going to be at Yeovil Town for, you know, the next season and beyond. So I'm very sad to see a Vegan Warrior disappear, and I wish him well. And same with Ryan Dixon as well. So it's a bit of a mixed bag. I was shocked that Nathan Smith go, but otherwise, if we're else, I think it sort of makes sense.
I think having seen the team throughout the season, I don't think there's really too much to be surprised about. I think for the one that was maybe a bit of a curveball was Dan Alfie, because it wasn't necessarily expected. He did, of course, have what was sort of officially a 2-year deal, but it was one of those where the club had an option to extend it into a second year. And I think when you consider the fact that he suffered the injury that he did so early into the season, but he's not fully recovered yet, that Yeovil didn't really get too much of a chance to gauge him and gauge how well he would have contributed to the team. I'm not altogether surprised that that is a decision that has been taken now, sort of with the fact that his contract situation has now come to light. I think, you know, it's an opportunity for Yeovil to look at some players who have been playing week in, week out throughout the season and try and get them in his place. And so it's a move that makes sense. I'm quite sad by all three going, to be honest with you. I think Krizyak, Nathan Smith, Ryan Dixon, all top professionals, all, you know, the times that I've dealt with them, all, you know, very, very good people. And they've all contributed to Yeovil Town while they've been at the club as well. Mm. So I think it's always sad when you have to get rid of players like that. But then I think if you look at all three of them individually, I'm not surprised the decision has been taken, and I can see why they've got rid of them in all three cases. If I go through them one by one, you have Artur Krizyak, who unfortunately was usurped by Stuart Nelson when he signed. I know that he came back in after Nelson suffered his injury, but I think as soon as Stuart Nelson agreed terms on that 2-year deal, the writing was always going to be on the wall for Krizyak. I spoke to Darren Way yesterday when I went over there and saw him following the news that Krizyak had gone, and he did say, you know, if the budget had been there, he may have, you know, been able to keep both of them. But I think when Yeovil were in a position where they can only afford to have one top experienced keeper on their books, it was always going to be Nelson, I think, to be first choice. And as soon as Nelson signed that deal, then Krizyak was always going to move on, unfortunate as that is. But I think if you look at it, I think Krizyak is as good a keeper as he has been, and the amount of times he's kept Yeovil in games, he has been quite error-prone at times as well. So It's sad, but I think, you know, Nelson probably is a better option out of the two, and you can fully understand that one. And I think with Nathan Smith, yes, he's been a loyal servant to Yeovil, but I think, you know, the issue with Smith again is probably his fitness. He's suffered two knee injuries in the last two seasons. Both of them maybe not serious, but they've kept him out for a couple of months at a time. He suffered the injury at Crewe in February, came back and wasn't really, you know, the game that we did see him again was at Notts County, and he looked very decidedly off the pace, didn't really look like he'd recovered. And I think the feeling is that, yes, he's been a good player, he's been a good servant, but has he got the leadership abilities, and has he got the sort of player that Darren Way wants to bring in? We talk about experience, but if we talk about leaders who are going to get in player spaces and really shout at them and really, you know, make their presence felt in the dressing room, Nathan Smith's never really been that character. He's very laid back, he's very calm, very sort of collected and methodical, and maybe they just felt they wanted to go in a different direction with that, and I can understand that one. And again, with Ryan Dixon, I think he's been a very, you know, consistent player. He's been a solid player. But again, you know, he's not somebody who's going to go out and shout and get in the players' faces and really G them up and make that difference on the pitch from a leadership point of view when needed. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, maybe the fact that all three have gone at once may be a bit of a surprise. But I think if you look at Down and knock it down individually, I'm not surprised. And to be honest, before the news came out, I was expecting all three of them to be released. And that's what Darren Way has done. Yeah. And of course, another key factor to take into a sort of account here is Yeovil's budget will still be relatively limited by League Two standards next year. And, you know, Darren Way is going to have to bring players in if he wants to improve the team. And to do that, he's going to have to, you know, free up some wages. And maybe he feels if he can identify two experienced players there, that maybe it's worth it to free up some wages and then to be able to afford to reinforce the squad of the players that he wants.
No, I completely agree. I think that's the way I've seen it, really. I think, you know, I can't speak for their wages. I don't know that for wages, but obviously if you've let go of four players, you can, that does free up a lot of money in the wage budget to offer other your players in your squad to improve contracts to certain stars, or it can help, you know, offer a more attractive deal to, you know, people on the market, really. And I think it's important to do this, really. It is, you know, can be a bit brutal, and it can be a bit of a hard decision to see which players you want to keep when you what you can really just let go. But it is just, I think that's just football, really. It's just a harsh thing about it. But I think if Darren Way can obviously replace these players, I mean, for example, if you could replace Nathan Smith with a canny, you know, versatile centre back, that'd be really good. I mean, and the same with, and if we can get a really good fullback in, I think that might just be the turn in Yeovil Town's fortunes, really.
I think you're right. I think Darren Way has identified that he wants an experienced centre back this summer. Of course, there is still doubts over the future of Omar Suwumni, who has been offered a new deal but is out of contract, and I'd be very surprised if there's no interest in Omar. And I think that, you know, going forward, they're going to need that figure. I think one player that Yeovil never really replaced, and I think it did coincide, along with the season before last, with the loss of Ryan Hedges, you know, to kind of Mac January. But one thing that Yeovil never did was they never found a good like-for-like replacement for Darren Ward, because Darren Ward was superb when he was there. He was very much, you know, in the latter stages of his career, but he was a leader. You know, he wasn't afraid to, you know, to shout at players, to tell them what to do on the pitch. He wasn't afraid to really take control when it was needed. And Yeovil looked much, much calmer when Darren Ward ever played. If you go back to that time, and I see similarities in that with Stuart Nelson. I think when Stuart Nelson came in at Exeter, he just had he noticeably had that calming influence on the team. They just looked much more composed, much more in control, and, you know, it looked more settled. And I think that those are the sorts of experienced players that Darren Way wants. You know, experience doesn't have to be defined by how old you are or how many games in the Football League you've played. It can be determined by the success you've had as a player, by the levels that you've played at, by whether you've been, you know, captain at previous clubs. And there are so many different sort of categories of experience you can factor in there. And so the fact that they've got rid of three players who have had such a, you know, big influence and a big impact at Yeovil over many years, it doesn't necessarily mean that Yeovil were shooting themselves in the foot, or that Darren Way isn't doing what he set out to do. That maybe at this moment in time the club just wanted to go in a different direction on the playing side.
Yeah, of course. And I think people say, you know, they want experience, they want old heads in the dressing room, but I could be accept that, but I think that there just needs to be a case of younger players do need to come through the system. They need to be given the chance, and obviously, you know, you're going to get more years of a younger player than an older player, really. And I think Darren's just got to be very canny of how he operates his transfers. I think his transfer policy, as I've seen very recently, has been very much like under 25s, really. The perception of Stuart Nelson on the free. There have been younger signings, and I think it's just a sign that, you know, Darren wants to build like a younger side, young talented side, really, that can sort of develop as a team and obviously as players and go through the divisions, really. It's just going to be interesting what Darren does over the summer. You know, if you can get those players in, if you get the right signings, you can get, I think if we can retain certain players, I mean, we're probably going to go on to the people that are looking to be kept by Yeovil, but it will be an interesting summer ahead of Yeovil Town, really, I think so.
Yeah, and just while we're here, I just want to have a look at Twitter. I've got Twitter open in front of me and just read a bit of a reaction to the retain list of some of the Yeovil fans. Got Barry Crossan here, who's tweeted to Nathan Smith. He said, "You've just seen the retain list, you're leaving. Thank you for all that you have done in green and white. I'll certainly miss you. Good luck for the rest of your career." Mm-hmm. I think you've got that sentiment all over the place, really. I think from fans, from other journalists. So read out Tom Seymour, you know, our predecessor,
our colleague,
also BBC Somerset summariser these days, and he said, "We'll be sad to see Ryan Dixon and Artur Kryziak leave Yeovil Town, but particularly gutted I won't be dealing with Nathan Smith anymore. Mm-hmm. A solid pro on the field and a really interesting guy off it. Good luck to all of them and whatever step they take next." I'm just going to read out, it's the best team in the West, which is the Yeovil Town fan blog. It's run by Yeovil fans, and he says, "Slightly shocked by our release list. Obviously, it's unfair to judge until the replacements come in, but to get rid of some of our most experienced and consistent players seems like madness." So, mm-hmm. I mean, there is a varying sort of range of opinions here. You know, there's others saying, well, Darren Way said he wants experience, but he's got rid of three of our most experienced players. And again, you know, there is that. There is an argument to be made, but I think if you break it down individually, I think if you take into account sort of performances, if you take into account fitness issues, if you take into account the players that they may be looking at and the targets that they may have set up, I think it's just a case that those three were all deemed, you know, that there were probably better options out there. And that happens at all clubs up and down the country, no matter what level you're at, no matter where you're at.
Oh, yeah.
It sometimes, you know, it could be nice to say players are experienced, players have been there a long time and have that sentimental thing. But really, if you want to move forward in football, you can't really have that place for sentiment. It's got to be about what players can offer you now.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think there's always some heartbreak when it comes to players going out the door at new any club, really. So I can completely gauge that to a reaction. I mean, I was only shocked really at Nathan Smith going, but everyone else, I was like, well, I'm content with that, really. Again, it's just a case of just seeing, we can really only judge these people being let go when the replacements come in, really. When the replacements come in and see if they're any better or any worse, and then you can really make it a judgment, really. But obviously the team service is a requirement, so it really is just a case of we'll just have to move on and hope for the best, really, and see how it goes next season, really.
But yeah. And certainly, you know, I join all the fans and I join everybody who has said this. You know, I wish all three of them the very best for the future. Oh, they've all been great servants for the football club. And hopefully, maybe some point in the future, they may have another role to play in another capacity with the club. But, you know, it's part and parcel of football that these players move on.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to change tack. I'm going to stick with the news of a retain list. But, of course, Yeovil have made two contract offers. And I'm going to start with a man that most Yeovil fans will be absolutely desperate to see put pen to paper on a new deal and remain at Huish Park over the summer, and that is Omar Suwumni. No surprises, he's been offered a new deal. He was, you know, probably the most improved player at Yeovil Town this season, winner of our Player of the Year award, and a player that you have to think, Mike, if Yeovil Town are going to climb the table next year, it is paramount that Omar Suwumni is part of that team.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I was talking the other week about having a spine in the team, and I think he'll be a key part of that spine, really. Obviously, the way I'm looking at that at the moment, it would be a case of, say, you know, Nelson, who's obviously been offered he's accepted a 2-year deal today, which is great. Omar will be a brilliant centre back, and he will be a leader. He will really grow within that role. And then you're looking at someone in the midfield, and then obviously up front, you're looking at, say, Zonko or Alex Fisher, would be that that striker ready to be, you know, be the identity of your town. But yeah, I mean, I've been very, very, very satisfied with how he's played this season, really. He's been very much a cool head at the back. He's been someone who's been great at pieces as well. And he's just, there's been odd moments of, you know, he's made mistakes, but again, every player makes that. And again, he is a young player. But he's going to be a player that will flourish under Yovetan if he's given the tools, if he's given the, he's in the right system and he's given the confidence to go ahead. So.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely key, and I think you're right. I think, you know, it would be a real, real shame if Omar was to go. Unfortunately, I think there is going to be interest in him, you know, serious interest in him from a leading League Two club in January. So, you know, it would be a surprise, you know, if there wasn't more interest in him this summer. He's only improved, really, from his performances in the first half of the season. He really did get stronger and stronger as the campaign developed. So I think it's going to be one of those where Yeovil fans are really going to have to hold their breath, cross their fingers, you know, pray, you know, you make wishes, no matter what you have to do. If Omar Suwumni, you know, it remains at Yeovil Town, it will be a very, very good piece of business.
And I think so, yeah.
What Yeovil have to make sure that they do, and, you know, it, of course, the first priority is that Omar stays, but if he goes, they're going to have to make sure they have a very, very good replacement lined up, because to lose the key players, no matter how many players remain under contract, you know, if you lose such a key figure in that team in Omar, you're going to have to do something to replace him to ensure that you don't fall backwards.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on to the second player who's been offered a new deal, and that's Oscar Goburn, and that is a move that maybe has been met with a bit more surprise by some supporters, but the news was that he has been offered a new deal. He came in December on a short-term contract, which is now expired, but Yeovil clearly seen enough of him, or seen enough from him in his time here to be convinced that he will have a role to play going forward.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe a bit of a curveball, but of course you talk of Oscar Goburn, and he is somebody that, you know, maybe has had his fitness issues, but when he has played, he has at times shown glimpses of being a good player.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why, really. I think it's Darren playing a bit, basically a gamble, really, with Darren, because, you know, Oscar did have a bit of an injury layoff, so he was quite limited in what we saw of Oscar Bogoba. But my first impressions when I first watched him play, he was very much quite a confident and very canny player. And I really did like the look of him. I liked how he handled himself, I liked how he was on the ball. And it was very, it's important that I think Yeovil Town, they have a ball carrier and someone who can pass the ball, really. And for him to be offered a new contract, I think that's the right move, in all fairness. I think it's, you know, he's obviously shown enough to impress Darren, and I think I've been a satisfied voice, and so far, I think if he gets a full season under his belt, who knows what could happen. It could be the key to Yeovil's future, really, I guess. So
I think it's maybe indicative of the fact that Yeovil, in defence, have had several good options and several players who have come in impressed, but maybe you could argue that the weakness in the team has been, in particularly with permanent players in the centre of midfield. I know you had James Bailey and Connor Smith in the first part of the season who maybe didn't impress as much as they would have liked.
Yeah.
You've had Alfie Santos, who's coming in again, shown glimpses of being a good player, but hasn't consistently nailed down that spot in the team. And of course, you also have Jake Gray, who unfortunately suffered that pretty nasty ankle injury in February, ruled him out for the season. And I know he's in a boot, or he was in the boot a couple of weeks ago, hoping to be fit for the start of the season. But of course, if you look at defence, and if you look at the decision to get rid of Ditson and Smith, you've got likes of Bevis Mugabe and Sean Donnellan, who, you know, are young and under contract for next season, who you can see going in and really, you know, establishing themselves in the team if all goes well. Whereas in midfield, there's nobody really who can fill that role, so maybe I think that could be a factor in it. But I think I've been impressed in stages of Oscar Goburn. I've not been altogether impressed. There have been times where he's been a little bit off the boil, but I think if you give Oscar a pre-season, if he this is providing he agrees to stay, of course, but if you give him a pre-season, give him time to build up that fitness and really hit the ground running, then he could be an asset. And I think that's what it comes down to here. What contract he's been offered, you know, we don't know exactly yet. We don't know sort of the money side of things either. But what I will say about him is that he was a free agent when Yeovil signed him last summer. And I think if you're looking at Football League clubs, if they're going to be interested in Oscar Goburn, I can't see that many teams being interested in him apart from Yeovil. So really, the decision for Goburn is going to be, do I want to stay at Yeovil, or is there a club out there in another league? I mean, he's played in Scotland before.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the National League, you know. Do I want to drop down a level or do I want to stay in the Football League and really fight for my place?
Quite a few levels already for this past few years.
And so it's a big decision there. I'd be inclined to say that if he's going to be wanting to stay in the Football League, he'll sign that contract. But it's I think it's a bit of a 50-50 there. Maybe, you know, in terms of will he get offers from elsewhere?
Yeah.
Now, there are players who are still in contract at Yeovil Town, but it hasn't stopped speculation over their future. And two big players who Yeovil Town fans would want to keep, but who we think may be off this summer, are Tom James and Otis Khan, of course. I'm going to start with Tom James because there has been interest in him. There's been newspaper articles linking him with various clubs with varying degrees of truth, as I understand it. But there's been lots of Swansea, Bournemouth, Aston Villa, Celtic, who've also been interested in him. And when you look at his versatility and his technical ability, perhaps no surprise there has been that interest. But it's a player that, although Yeovil will get money for him, eventually, if he does go, because he's under contract, it really would be a blow for Yeovil to lose a player of that calibre. So.
Oh, exactly. I mean, considering Nipper's gone, it would be a massive blow. But I think Tom James is someone, I think if he and Omar can stick together, I think there'll be a quite positive season upcoming for Yeovil Town. I think that's what Yeovil need, really, is a solid back line, really. Obviously going to be massive back to West Joe Nelson, so that's going to be the key to whatever Yeovil Town do next season, really. I am a massive fan of him. I think it's important that he stays. And obviously, you know, we've talked many weeks about the interest in him, and he will probably leave eventually. But I think it's important that we retain him as long as we can and develop him as a player. And as he develops, he can create some more memorable moments for Yeovil Town. So.
The thing that I would love to see happen with Tom James, and then depending on the sort of club which comes in for him, you know, possibly, you know, say a Swansea, which is one of the teams that have been linked, possibly a Celtic, another one. You know, if those are clubs that are genuinely interested in Tom James, I think it would be, you know, it'd be key for Yeovil in negotiations here, because, you know, they have got that negotiating power. They've got him under contract. Is to say to them, look, you know, we understand, you know, he's got great potential. He's been a fantastic player. He's got the versatility. You know, he can come in and fill a number of key roles in the team, which not many players can. You know, he's clearly got the potential to play at a higher level in the future. But maybe just at the moment, you know, he'd be best suited with another year at League Two. And so what we would do is we would be happy to sell him to you. But what we would really like is for you to loan him back to us for a season.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would be a deal that I think would suit all parties. And that Yeovil would get money for him, but they'd also get another season for him as well. And that would be fantastic if Yeovil were able to do a deal. It's a deal that, you know, that clubs up and down the country have done, you know, before. There are precedents for it out there. It's not something which, you know, I think that, you know, if you're looking at the sorts of clubs that have been linked to them, you know, there's plenty of clubs where maybe he wouldn't get the game time first up anyway. And so it maybe be a benefit to them to let him have another season on loan to develop his game. So that may be something, that may be an option. Otis Khan, of course, the other player who has been the subject of interest, particularly in January, where the likes of Bristol Rovers,
Luton were interested in him.
Wigan were, you know, I understand, interested in him. Bradford. There were several clubs that really wanted Otis Khan. It was really when he was at the height of his powers before the unfortunate sending off that really derailed his season, as it turned out. Yeah. You know, the Otis Khan of the first half of the season was a real, real dangerous prospect and caused problems for any team in this league. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see more interest in Otis Khan for that reason. Is that, yes, he's had a poor, by his standards, second half of the season. But if you look at the players that that were interested in him, if you look at the fact he's got a release clause, which isn't that much by the standards of many clubs, I can see, you know, there being a team that can say, you know what, yes, okay, he didn't have the greatest second half of the season, but, you know, we know if we can get him playing like he did in the first half of the season, he'll be a real asset and he can be really somebody who, you know, could be a very, very key player for us. So again, you know, whether a team wants to take that gamble, I don't know, but it would be a fairly inexpensive gamble, and maybe, you know, we could see Otis Khan out as well.
Yeah, of course. It'll be interesting to see how he does next season, if he does obviously stay at the Yeovil Town. I mean, if he will pick up the form he showed in the first half of the season, or if he will just sort of trail off again. You know, I don't know. My position on really is just really just if he wants to stay, then that's good. But if he wants to leave, then it would be a case of, you know, you might as well just you know, get as much money as you can and obviously reinvest that money in the areas of the squad, really. I would say, and obviously on that front, he is, I would argue, one of the most valuable assets of the team.
Because I think when he's in form, he's the best, he's the most talented player in the team.
And I think
the problem has been him, you know, it's been what's happened to him since he came back from his ban. He just hasn't been the same player. I think I'd argue.
I don't think he's a contributor. Has he contributed a goal or assist at all?
He's had a couple of assists, but he hasn't scored since. I think Morecambe was the last goal he scored, and that was all the way back in December. So, you know, it really goes to show it's the scale of how his season tailed off, you know, is dramatic. And, you know, you've got to look at it. You know, I'd argue that the Otis Khan of the first half of the season, Yeovil should have to do everything that they could to keep hold of him. But the Otis Khan of the second half of the season, would Yeovil miss that player? Probably not, because they've got the likes of Reece Brown, Jordan Green. When he's fit, Jake Gray can play out wide as well, if that's the route that Darren Way wants to go. So there are other options there. And I'd argue that maybe, you know, if you get a six-figure sum for Otis Khan, which is what you would get with his release clause, you can reinvest that in other players. So That I think is where we stand with those players. But of course, you know, the other question is there are a number of players under contract for next season.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, remain under contract, but maybe given the lack of game time that some of these players have had, whether there may be a future for some of them at the club. And I think, you know, I look at the likes of Connor Smith, who really was in and out of the team in the first half of the season and really, you know, was often left out of the squad. And I also look at Johnny Maddison. Now Stuart Nelson has signed a new contract. Johnny Maddison, he's virtually consigned to another season, probably of being the number two goalkeeper. And whether either the players themselves are content to sit with another year, probably make it as squad players, and whether the club themselves may feel that their budget is best served by getting those two players off the wage bill and finding them new clubs.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, you have to always evaluate the squad at the end of the season, who you think will be a key part for your squad next season, really. And I think, obviously, you look at, obviously, Conor Smith, if he's at this point of time not getting to the squad, so I think you have to sort of evaluate his future and see if he's actually required for next season. Johnny Maddison, I think he will personally be thinking, I don't really want to sit another season on the bench, really. He'll be looking for a move elsewhere, really. Whether that be in a League Two club, I don't know, but he could certainly obviously be a good keeper, you know.
I think particularly at a National League level.
Not to pay him a disservice or anything, but I think he will probably be thinking, you know, where his career is going and what he wants to do, really. So it would be very interesting, I think, and obviously if Maddison said it goes, for example, who would he be replaced with? I mean, would it be another young goalkeeper? Would it be a promotion from the youth team, or would it just be a case of another experienced
head? I think if Yeovil Town want one, I don't think they would find too many problems getting in another young goalkeeper, probably one who's been released from, say, a Premier League or a Championship Academy. Yeah. Somebody who they can bring in is very much to begin with a number two, but somebody who can work with Stuart Nelson and work with Steve Phillips, the goalkeeping coach, and really, you know, somebody that they can nurture, who, when Nelson isn't available for whatever reason, can come in and fill in, but also somebody who they can see maybe growing over a period of a year or 2 years.
Yeah.
So that if Stuart Nelson isn't available or has a dip in form, maybe then there's somebody who can challenge him.
Sure,
I think if Yeovil wanted to go down that route, I don't think it would be too difficult for them to find a new goalkeeper, because there are plenty of them out there.
Yeah.
And of course, I think goalkeepers, there aren't as many of them, but of course there's only one goalkeeper who can play at any one time.
Oh,
so
yeah,
there
course,
are always going to be players looking for clubs. So I don't think that would be too much of an issue for them to find somebody. And again, I think with Connor Smith in midfield, if that was a route that they decided to go down, they've already got, if Oscar Goban signs a new deal, they'll have five central midfielders under contract. So there would be some wriggle room there, I think. Now, Darren Way, I did ask him about whether he saw a future at the club for all of his contracted players, and he did say he had had conversations with a couple of those players. He didn't name any names, but it would lead you to suspect that maybe there are efforts ongoing, or there will be efforts once the squad reconvenes for pre-season, to maybe move on a couple of players or just, you know, assess where things are. And I think that Maddison and Smith would be two players that really would be in that bracket, maybe, you know. And but I think would be less likely, maybe somebody like Alfie Santos as well, although the fact that he has had the option on his contract exercised by the club would lead me to think that he probably is part of the first team reckoning for next season. So I think there's a few decisions that still need to be made, but I think certainly in terms of if you look at the retain list as a whole and the players that are staying, the players that are going, what would your overall assessment be of that?
I would have to see, really. I mean, looking at the current team, it is a good crop of players, I'd say. I think there obviously just needs to be some players that just need to be maybe moved on and maybe replaced. I'm just looking at the end of the contract list at the moment, really. I mean, you can still, as long as we retain the stars of the season, I think Zoko, Omar, Tom James, if we obviously... Ogoba obviously would be in the bracket as well, and even Mugabe. Bennis. If he stayed, it would be important for Yorktown's future to do so. Really, it's just really just a case of I think Darren's probably looking at the squad right now and thinking, what do I need to fill in? Really, what am I missing? And I think through him moving on certain players and obviously. Players we don't know who may be moving on, who may be replaced. It would be very interesting to see what happens, really. But I think Darren's probably being very pragmatic about it and seeing what he can do, really. So.
Yeah, and I think the key isn't going to be the players that he's released now, although that obviously does have some impact. But I think the bigger thing is going to be keeping the players that they want to keep, but also it's going to be the recruitment that they get done over the summer. That's going to be probably the most important thing. It's not always about the players you leave, it's about the players you get in to replace them.
Oh, yeah, of course,
and if you can get in two or three quality players with experience who can really push your team forward, it sometimes only takes two or three players to really make a huge difference to where the team ends up in the table. And I know one thing that Darren Way has said in interviews over the last few weeks, and one thing that's a goal, is that he wants to push for the playoffs next season. Yeah. Whether that's realistic and whether Yeovil can achieve that, I'm not quite sure. I think it's probably, you know, where they're coming from, I don't think they can quite get to that level. But I think they can certainly get themselves to a level where relegation isn't a concern for them.
Yeah,
they can get themselves into that sort of no man's land area, sort of below the playoffs and sort of away from relegation, so that, you know, by Christmas you'll say 10, 15 points above the drop zone. You finish about 15 points above the drop zone in that area of the table where the likes of Newport, the likes of Carlisle, Colchester have been. Okay, it's not what the fans would ideally want, but it would certainly be progress, and it would be, you know, it would be significant progress in what they've done over the past three years. So I think that's the thing, and then if they can do that, then it's all about building blocks and about making sure that maybe not next year, but in 2-3 years,
Yeovil already up there and
Yeovil
can
get back into League One.
Yeah.
Of course, you're going to need some more things for that to happen. I think you need. I think there badly needs to be new investment in the club. I think that's something that really, you know,
improves facilities.
Yeah, I think facilities could do being improved. I think there needs to be a few things that happen to just bring back a spark and bring back a bit of a feel-good factor that maybe hasn't quite been there.
Yeah.
But I think from where things stand at the moment, you know, Darren Way will be the manager at the start of next season unless he just decided impulsively he was going to walk out, which I don't think is going to happen. I think he's going to be building the squad that he wants or he hopes will get them up the table. It's going to be about how he is backed, and there has to come a point where the owners can't just do enough to stay in the league, because we've seen Yeovil have only finished the season 2 points above relegation zone. And really, that's the difference. You know, 2 points over the course of a season, that's one result going the wrong way. You know, that is about as fine as you want to cut it.
Yeah.
And if next season you're on the wrong end of a couple of those results, and we can easily quote the Barnet game where Yeovil, if Yeovil hadn't won that game, it turns out Yeovil would have been down.
Yeah.
You know, and similarly, Chesterfield, Yeovil lost to Chesterfield in the last minute, that, you know, that game could have, you know, proved crucial as well. Forest Green, where they threw away a 2-goal lead at the start of the season. You know, there are so many near misses that Yeovil have really had this season, that it would be reckless for the club not to increase the budget and not to give Darren the opportunity to reinforce that squad.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at season B, you know, a very much a start lesson, really, and a lesson in we need to pick things up, otherwise, you know, it could get worse, really. You know, and to be 2 points off, I don't think any manager wants to be 2 points off relegation if they're a certified Football League club. I think I would be personally a bit embarrassed by that, really. And I think that Darren, I think he's just inspired by the fact, obviously, Accrington Stanley have won the league, and obviously Lincoln are in the playoffs. Who knows if they could get up? But I think it really is a case of, I think Darren just wants to, he is inspired by these clubs, and he just obviously wants to push on, really. And I think that's important for the fans that do push on, and they go on and do something, really, and then gives fans something to support. And obviously, there's the other fans that maybe have turned away from here as well. Maybe they come back in and.
That's what we can hope, but certainly if you look back over the season as a whole, you know, it's been a lot of football played, 59 games, of course, the league position wasn't what they wanted, 19th and 2 points above relegation. But then, of course, on the flip side, you had the run in the FA Cup that saw Manchester United come to Huish Park. You had the run to the semi-finals in the Czechic Trade Trophy, which, although, you know, not a fan favourite of the competition, in terms of it was still only one game from Wembley, and it was a big financial boost to the club. So how would you see Yeovil Town season as a whole now, things are all done and dusted?
I think cup-wise it's been quite positive. I mean, the United getting to the fourth round of the FA Cup, I mean, that's an achievement in itself. To get a glam tie against Manchester United, great enough for the club, puts Yeovil Town on the map a bit for a night. But, you know, I think we quite enjoyed that. I mean, we enjoyed watching, obviously, United bus come in and stay at a hotel here. Again, the cup, the Czechos Road Trophy, albeit, you know, a competition that some clubs aren't really too bothered about, Darren took to heart. And I think the cup, cups-wise, I think that's the positive section of the season. In terms of the league, there's a lot of there's an aspect of, like, you know, this could be so much more better, really. You know, I think I can say at the top of my head, Yeovil could have been at least 10-15 points better off. They should have been more up there, way away from relegation places. And it really is just a case of, it's been a very, very weird season, really, I would say, for Yeovil. You know, there's been positives in the cup run, but in the league, it's just been more of the same, really. And I think it's going to be a case of trying to G up the team for next season, really. I don't know how you assess this season as someone who's been watching more closely.
I think, you know, I've seen the vast, vast majority of Yeovil's games this season. I think there have been times where the squad should have got better results than they have. I think there were a number of near misses, a number of games where they got themselves into winning positions and didn't capitalise on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think the key three matches for me was the Forest Green away game where they went 2-0 up so early on and ended up losing. Both Morecambe games at home, they were 2-0 up, drew 2-0, away 2-0 up, lost 4-3. You know, those are the sorts of results that Yeovil, you know, should have, you know, had the whereabouts and the wherewithal to see those games out and get the wins. That's something which, you know, should have improved. There been just like four or five games where they managed to turn those draws or defeats into wins, they would have been 10, 15 points maybe better off. And at that point, then all of a sudden it looks much more rosy, and instead, you know, Yeovil wouldn't have been worrying about relegation. They may not have got to the playoffs, but they would have been in that safe mid-table area. I think the team and the spine of the team has the capability to be there. But I think there were times where Yeovil weren't helped by injuries, particularly in the latter part of the season. I think that did hurt them a little bit. But I also think that in terms of where things are at, is that they probably could have done a bit better in the league. Having said that, in the cups, I think the cup runs were fantastic. And it wasn't just the fact of getting to those stages and getting the teams that they did, but it's the fact that the extra money it brought in enabled Yeovil to sign the likes of Alex Fisher, who's been a key player in the second half of the season, who will no doubt be a key player next season. Not just Sean Donnellan, who, albeit young and had to wait a bit to get his chance, looks like he could be a key player next season as well. You know, this is your work, which went on in January, which hopefully will benefit the team next season as well. There was the work that the club did to tie down Tom James and Jordan Green to improve deals. And although James may still leave, you know, it leaves Yeovil in a better position, the fact that they got him tied down to improve terms. And Jordan Green would have been out of contract in the summer. So there are good things that did happen. I think, how would I describe Yeovil's season now? I think overall, I think it's fairly unremarkable, particularly from a league point of view. Yeah. But they need to take it as a lesson going forward that they can't keep, you know, trying to tread water and just keeping their heads above the parapet there. Some point, if you keep, and this is at board level, at some point, if you keep trying to just stay in the Football League, it will trip you up. And if you look at the kinds of teams that have gone down over the last 2 years, who would have predicted the likes of Chesterfield, the likes of Hartlepool, the likes of Leyton Orient would have gone down in the last few years? Very, very few people. And Yeovil are very lucky, I think, that at some point in those last 3 years, they haven't joined those teams.
Yeah.
And they need to, you know, give more backing to whoever's in charge, whether it be Darren Way at the moment. But, you know, if it was somebody else, to give them backing as well. And just to make sure that at board level, things were going on to enable the team to have better success on the pitch. And I think that is the key. If Yeovil, if the invest right level of investment comes in, and that squad is able to be reinforced in the way that Darren Way would like it to over the summer, then there is a chance of progressing up the table. Maybe not to playoffs, but at least up the table.
It's some progress,
yeah. But if it doesn't come, if that doesn't happen, then it's very difficult to see Yeovil being in anything other than the position that they were in this season, which would be a crying shame. And really, when you look at the way that crowds have dropped off, you know, something needs to happen. I think we're all really hoping and all praying that next season things do take an upturn.
I agree.
At Huish Park, and results improve on the pitch, no matter what it takes to get them there. And I think, really, you know, summing up, I think that's pretty much takes us to the end of, of this episode, and also the series, I'm afraid. Of course, with no football there, it's not really going to be too much for us to talk about over the next few weeks. So we are ending the series there. So what I'd like to say is a huge thank you to everybody who has listened to us over the course of the season. It's been a joy to record a podcast for you and to bring it to you. We've appreciated all the comments that we've had and all the feedback that we've had, and we really hope, you know, that going on into the summer and into next season, that things do improve at Yeovil Town. Of course, before next season, there will be sort of drips and drabs coming out of Huish Park, and we will be bringing it to you on www.somersetlive.co.uk/sport. If you like this episode, if you want to check back at any previous episodes in the series, they're on iTunes, they're on Acast as well. You can subscribe if you want to, although the fact there'll be no more episodes means you don't have to do that. You can just check them out.
You have a catalogue.
They are there.
I mean, but, an archive, yeah?
Yeah, we have all the episodes there for you to go back and listen to if you get that urge to do so, if you want your Yeovil Town fix over the summer months. So all that leads me to say is thank you very much for joining us today and over the course of the season, and have a great summer.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.